DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. No more Happy New Year.
All right.
It's just 2026.
All right.
Just is what it is.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that thing where it usually only happens once to me per New Year, but when you go 2026, the hell?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, having been born in 64 and been sentient in the 70s, and been raised on science fiction like the show 1999, where we're clearly in deep space.
When was that show on?
Probably 80s.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Man, they were aiming high.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it was always like that. I mean, Twilight Zone, I get. Twilight Zone was early 60s. But Twilight Zone was always like in 1984, you know,
yeah.
This and that. And well,
we will have flying cars.
Yeah, the flying car thing, I feel like that's the like chocolate milk in the fountains in grade school.
Yeah.
I just don't see, I mean, maybe 200 years from now, I don't even know how we're going to have self-driving cars, like on the same street as normal cars and everyone feels safe. So for flying cars, man, those things will be falling out of the sky, at least for the first 20 years or so, just falling out of the sky willy-nilly.
You think?
Am I the only one who doesn't even really want a flying car?
Maybe.
Like, who cares?
I mean, I don't really want one.
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to go significantly faster?
I think they were cool. Like when I was a kid, like the concept was super cool. But now with all my fears.
Yeah.
That's just asking for trouble.
Get me out of that traffic.
Yeah, but you're just going to be in traffic up there.
That's all right. There's more space up there. No buildings up there. No land, no parks, no neighborhoods. You just fly right over it.
Well, see, that's
although
even
there
worse.
There may be restrictions, right?
You might there have has to be, because otherwise you're just
flying to people's homes.
Well, you're just whipping all over the place.
Yeah. Dave says they plan to have flying taxis in L.A. for the Olympics.
No, they don't. Shut up.
Yeah, they will. They'll be called helicopters. They'll just have helicopters that say taxi on the side.
Do we have a Winter Olympics coming up?
Yeah, Milan. Yeah.
And when is that?
This winter.
Oh, nice.
It's February
2026.
I think it's.
I'm sorry, not 20. Yeah, this coming.
Yeah.
That's
like
cool.
Like a month from now, I think it starts.
Which is why the figure skating champion, you know, the qualifiers are here.
I've not been into the Olympics, summer or winter, for a really long time. But when I was a kid, it was everything. Like just clocking it every 4 years and track and field and boxing and ice hockey and all that stuff. I'm going to try and get into them this year. It'll be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And am I correct that this is the first year that pro NHL guys can play?
No, that's not the first time, but it's back.
Okay.
It kind of comes and goes. But yeah, they'll take the break this year. And I think it's happened several times. And it's kind of the same dynamic as what you get in baseball with the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Where in basketball in the Olympics, you get the NBA players to do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good time.
So, Dave, sick update. Last night, I don't know what time you texted me, Rach. It's on the DGS shared text. But it freaked me out because it was late enough that I was kind of getting a little bit sleepy. And then Rach texted and said that a respiratory therapist had heard my little rant about hearing demon voices in my head when I laid my head down on the pillow. And she said that it could be serious. I'm wheezing and I should go to the doctor. So,
well,
it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense.
Thank you to Jared
for sending
that tweet.
So I did reach out to my doc. Haven't heard back, but yeah.
Good deal.
Just a wheezer. But it did go away. Like it started last night because I got that when I was up. And then I went to bed and I was really dreading lying on my side. But I did. And there it was again. Like the creaking door and the disembodied voices, you know, in my head. But then it went away by the morning. So that's kind of good.
Good deal. One less thing to worry about.
The voices were like, oh, no, he's on to us.
The demons are like,
let's settle down.
He knows what is wheezing. We just know I ran into the other day over the break. The girls and I went to, where did we go? Oh, Billy G's in Chesterfield.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Really good food. Jackie Smith, the tight end for the St. Louis Football Cardinals. Have you met Jackie?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What were you just doing?
I got blanked out. I was looking at our stupid screen, our chat. Yeah, he's the flying taxis thing.
Yeah, ran into Jackie.
Yeah.
I don't know how old Jackie is, but I wouldn't fight him on a dare. So I went up to him. I said, "Mr. Smith, my name's Dave. I'm a big fan." And then he said something like, "Oh, what do you do?" or something like that. I'm like, "Oh, I do a radio show on KMOX." And he smacked me in my chest, just like, "Hey, buddy." And it hurt. And then when I shook his hand, I've shaken a lot of big men's hands. I don't think anyone's ever hurt my hand like this.
He's 85.
Damn. Andrew, I told him we'd have him on the show. So if you can find Mr. Smith, you know, I don't know if he has social media or anything like that, but
I'm sure Tom has his contact.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Sure.
Good, good. There you go. If you know how to get hold of Tom Ackerman,
just show up at Billy G's.
We can get a hold of Mr. Smith.
Yeah, there's something about that hand strength thing when you're talking about certain types of athletes, football players especially.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I used to do some alumni stuff for Miami with Hall of Famer Ted Hendricks. Played for the Raiders in the 70s, 60s and 70s. Played for Madden's Raiders.
Yeah.
And he was a Miami guy before that, so he would do alumni things. And he's like 6'8". And, you know, I don't know what he weighed as a player, probably 250, 260, because back then they weren't as big. But his hand, your hand will disappear inside his hand when you shake it.
Yeah.
And he used to short grip you on purpose and smash your fingers.
Man.
Damn it, Ted.
So you just had your mind went blank.
I was looking at that screen. I had a Dave where I got distracted by the stream.
So I don't think I talked to you guys about this. I talked to someone about it who didn't seem to care that much. So it could have been you. But did I talk to you about what scientists say happens when your mind goes blank?
I don't think so.
Because we all know what that feels like.
Yeah.
And
I really know how that feels.
They did extensive testing. And first of all, we don't know what consciousness is. We just don't. We have theories, but no one really knows what it is, where it comes from, how it manifests, where it goes when we die. But the scientists did all these studies, and they said, we believe that consciousness shuts off during a brain fart.
Oh.
And you know how we now know, like with metrics in baseball and such, how many hundredths of a second it takes to
reboot,
perceive something,
I see.
Or to see something, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they said that they tested people, I guess, in the MRI or something. And when they would brain fart, they didn't see the physical stimuli in front of them.
Yeah.
Just didn't see it.
Yeah. I can identify.
Isn't that nuts?
I think what I'm learning here is that it's not my fault when that happens.
Yeah.
There you go. You lost all consciousness.
I'm like, hey, I can't fight this. We don't even know what my consciousness is.
I'm just a baby. My consciousness shut off.
I don't know. I don't even know it's happening.
That's what I should do as a talk show host, I've never really had like my catchphrase, like Rush Limbaugh did. When someone like is arguing with me online, I'll just be like, me just a baby.
Just a baby. What do you want him to do?
Just a baby.
Me just a baby.
I lost focus for the second there, and it's not my fault.
Me not understand January 6th. Which, by the way, 5-year anniversary, right?
Yeah. 5 years. Yep.
Well, at least everything's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that one weird thing, and now everything's
right back to normal.
I mean, it was a perfect day.
Oh, God.
Mm.
God, Rachel, I'll never forget being in our old office, watching it happen. And my main memory is just when, kind of the classic scene, when all the Trump banners were up and there were like smoke bombs and stuff and just being like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I remember seeing on Twitter that people were, you know, giving Capitol Police some trouble, but I didn't really think anything big was happening. But then I was also watching a live stream on YouTube of something in the house, and everything just kind of stopped, and they came in and started evacuating people, and that's when I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And ran out to, we were at 97.1 at the time, and ran out to their, like, news area or, you know, green room area, and started watching it on Fox, and the day progressed from there.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a scary day. It was a terrifying day.
Yeah.
It was a perfect day.
Well, it just
day
felt,
of love.
It just, everything felt so out of control.
Damn. Yeah. To anyone that's paying attention. I honestly, though, I had a buddy who was telling me that there's nothing happened there. And I sent him the video clips of like police officers being beaten. He's like, wow, I didn't see that before. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't see it? It was live on TV, man.
One of the most disturbing images to me was people being crammed into like walkways, like entering the Capitol. A lot of police officers trying to barricade.
Getting smashed,
getting smashed, and then also chemicals being sprayed in their faces, and people are coughing and presumably suffocating. That one always really bothered me. There's another one of a police officer being smashed in between some riot, like riot shields that the protesters had stolen, and awful stuff. I really don't like reviewing that footage at all.
But hey, it was fine.
You know, when
I mean, you hear the stories about it today, and you're like from people that are trying to make it like it was nothing. Like, you're out of your mind if you think that was nothing.
When I said late last year that, in my own humble opinion, Trump would be impeached within this next, you know, three years, and he said it himself today. He was saying that if they don't win the midterms, he'll definitely be impeached.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I wouldn't shock me if there's an attempt. I mean, nothing's going to, he's not going to get
actually I don't think
removed.
He's going to be removed. No.
Gotta go for the hat trick.
Yeah, the old hat trick.
At this point, would they even, knowing that they're not going to be able to finish the job, would they bother doing it?
Probably.
Because they're not going to, like, I wouldn't think, just based on my cursory knowledge of how it's set up, I wouldn't think they're going to lose both the House and the Senate. I don't think it's that close to the Senate, right?
I'm expecting them to lose the House, but not the Senate, but what the hell do I know?
I'm with you. I'm in the what the hell do I know, but I can't imagine both are going to change.
Yeah.
To the point where they're like, oh, we can actually do this. You could probably put it through the House if you take the House, but then it's going to be just shut down like the last time. Mm-hmm. So is it, at that point, is it productive to do it? Or is it just, hey, look, it's the right thing and you do the right thing? Is that how? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, duh, it depends on the circumstances, what's going on. I don't know what he would be impeached on at the moment, but I just feel like that's, I don't know, I just feel like it's coming. And you think about how momentous 2026 is going to be, because on January 6th, we're sitting here with Maduro in a New York jail. Now there's violence breaking out in Caracas because it's just sort of chaos. And all these discussions about Greenland, which, by the way, after the break, I have this great sound from Stephen Miller. So creepy. I forgot all about lives. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Gotta do those.
Gotta make the monies. You know why I didn't know about the live? Me, just a baby.
He's just a baby.
But your consciousness glitched.
You shouldn't be letting babies do live endorsements.
No, babies never. Can't do lives.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back, DGS121. But you have that Stephen Miller sound?
Good question. Yep, right here.
So let me set it up for you. He was doing an interview with Jake Tapper. And remember a few months ago when he did the thing, he talked about President Trump's plenary powers, and then he just
His brain froze. Yes, he became a baby.
He really did.
Because he's like, oops, I shouldn't have said that out loud.
His consciousness was gone.
I thought it was someone off screen telling him to shut up.
Oh, could be.
That's what I had
that
read.
That was a theory, was that could like be. Somebody was in his ear going like,
right. In his what's ear wrong with or, you? Or in front of him?
One yeah. or the other, but being say, like, what is wrong with you?
So last night, I'm just going to tell you what I think he said, and then you can listen to it. You can agree or disagree. But they were talking about, you know, all everything that's going on with Maduro and with Greenland and such. And they're talking about the laws. And Stephen Miller referred to the law, international law, as niceties. I think that's the word he used. I haven't heard this since last night. And then he goes on to basically say, yeah, I mean, there are niceties that you can go by in the law, but we live in the real world, and the real world is about power, and no one's going to put up a fight to defend Greenland. And it was so chilling, first of all, because you know he means every word, but then just like, isn't this the opposite of what America stands for? And I acknowledge that, you know, growing up in the 70s and the 80s, every generation of Americans have had a certain amount of propaganda, and we're sure, the best, sure. and everyone just wants to be us, and, you know, that kind of thing. But I do, even when you strip away the propaganda, I still do believe that the United States of America is and always has been special. If for not no other reason, just the Constitution and what it means and the rule of law, and no one is above the law. And to hear like one of the president's right hand people basically say, yeah, the law is nice, but in the real world, it's about power and we have the power. And I think he even goes on to say something like we have an armada sitting outside of Venezuela. And that's what matters. So go ahead.
You tell us what the president means when he says, is acting President Delcy Rodriguez in charge? Is she running Venezuela or not?
Well, what the president said is true. The United States of America is running Venezuela. By definition, that's true. Jake, we live in a world in which you can talk all you want about international niceties and everything else. But we live in a world, in the real world, Jake, that is governed by strength, that is governed by force, that is governed by power. These are the iron laws of the world that have existed since the beginning of time.
But in terms of day-to-day operations in Venezuela, that is acting President Rodriguez, right? It's not some sort of American emissary.
No, what I'm saying is, we'll keep going here, Jake, so I want to say what I'm saying and you'll follow up. But what I'm saying is just one level above that, which is that by definition, we are in charge. Because we have the United States military stationed outside the country. We set the terms and conditions. We have a complete embargo on all of their oil and their ability to do commerce. So for them to do commerce, they need our permission. For them to be able to run an economy, they need our permission. So the United States is in charge. The United States is running the country during this transition period.
That, I don't know about you guys, but I found that intellectually chilling.
It's completely dishonest because those same laws keep some 6'4" meathead from beating his ass and taking his wallet. Like, if it's all about power, well, then I can kick Stephen Miller's ass. Why can't I be in power?
Right.
It's a stupid logic, and it's not really logical.
He has the niceties of the law protecting
him. Right.
Him.
He's got the niceties of U.S. law, but we're in the real world, it's about power, and I can bench press more than he can, so I can kick his ass. I mean, like, it's the stupidest logic, and there's no logic to it. Let's be honest. This is what power-hungry people do and how they see things. If you turn it on them, they want no part of it. We've got laws so that the biggest, strongest people can't just take things from people. Right? That's what it's all about. Because if it was the law of the jungle, we wouldn't be ruled by Stephen Millers or 80-year-old men. We'd be ruled by 30-year-old giant behemoths who could kick the crap out of people. We'd be ruled by MMA fighters or the best marksmen in the world, right? It would never be the smartest people. And that logic just doesn't stand. But you twist logic when you see ways to consolidate power. That's it. To me, it's just that simple. If you wouldn't want the law to be ignored when it protects you, then you shouldn't ignore laws that protect other people.
Also, how do we keep a straight face about Ukraine or about Taiwan when the deputy chief of staff of the United States of America is saying, sure, you have the niceties of the law, but in the real world, it's about force and power. And well, we got the power.
Maybe their point is going to be, we don't care if they do those things. Because we're in the world that he's, the way he's painting it, we're bigger than them anyway, so who cares? I mean, I don't think it makes any sense, but if that's your outlook. It ain't no big thing.
Vixen.
Yeah. I know them from back in the day.
I used to date one of them. I'm lying.
Oh, I was going to be like, congratulations.
Just a little baby.
Just a little baby. What do I know?
You can't, babies can't date Vixen.
That's true.
I had this concept last night, and since we've been kind of talking about politics and the stream's really engaged, let me bring it up and see if I can make any sense to you guys. I thought about it last night that I'm not sure that I have personally lived in a time where, quote unquote, playing by the rules has ever been less important. It just, like, we all grew up being taught that, right? I mean, you play by the rules in life and in business and, you know, personally in the whole bit. But politics today certainly isn't being played by the rules. Or if it is, it's simply to manipulate the rules to the nth degree. Money hasn't been played by the rules. AI, you know, like kids in college just copy and pasting whatever it is that they do with ChatGPT. They're not playing by the rules. And do you feel me? It just feels like this is a very non-rule play kind of time.
Ooh, that's a good question. So is it that we care less about them? And by we, I'm talking about the people that are taking advantage. So is it that those people care less about the rules now, or they care less about anyone knowing what they're doing?
I think it's the second one.
Because, I mean, if you go back, we've had all kinds of nonsense with almost every president that's ever existed. As far as I'm talking about, like, I mean, Jimmy Carter didn't have anything that would be considered like something he...
Scandal
that he did, but he had problems that he could have fixed, and he did fix them. His was like ineffectiveness.
Yes.
But Reagan had Iran-Contra and more, right? They had all kinds of things in South America, all kinds of other things that went on.
Clinton had his things.
W had Iraq, and they had all that kind of nonsense. Obama had the drones and other things. Obviously, Donald Trump's had his own things. And if I go back before Jimmy Carter, Ford, maybe not, but certainly Nixon had problems. Kennedy had scandalous things.
I'm comfortable saying that Donald Trump is a brand new thing. I don't know that you can compare Donald Trump to anyone other than maybe what's-his-face Jackson, you know, back in the 1800s. And I think that you can't blame everything in the world on Trump, and you can't defend yourself for your own rule breaking. Like, hey, the president of the United States is doing it, why can't I do it? But I do think that it's a fact. I do think, and probably not a fact, it's my opinion, I do feel like breaking of the rules is just not as big a deal as it used to be. Because you look, you know, what do we always do? Like, you look at mom and dad, you look up, you look at the leaders of your country, and you go,
Yeah, I mean, what do the wealthiest, most powerful people think of rules? How do they treat them?
Broken.
How do they treat them?
Yeah.
How do they? I mean, that's always been that way, but we never had the means of seeing it in past generations. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know if, you know, the wealthy families or the richest men in the world 100 years ago were following the rules. My guess would be no. Why would they? They wouldn't have to. Plus, in that time, you're never going to get caught, especially with that kind of money to cover your butt.
Yeah. Rach, what do you think?
I think Donald Trump was the catalyst for something that was bound to happen eventually. He's a cult of personality that drew in maybe people who wouldn't have been involved otherwise. But I don't know. I think the rich and powerful have always exploited the rules for their own interests. I mean, Dave, you're a trained lawyer. Isn't that the point of, like, we have all these lawyers in the government. Yeah. Isn't the whole point, like, yeah, this is the law. This is kind of how we massage things to get what we want. You know, Amy has said many times, everyone's been sitting at this table in politics and silently farting under the table. Trump's just the one letting it rip out loud. I'm not saying, like, they're all the same. I'm just saying, like, I don't think we were all good up until 2016, and then suddenly everything came crashing down. I think we're all just kind of waking up to it because we do have this catalyst of someone who is very provocative, who intentionally rage baits and gets your blood hot and gets you upset because he can manipulate that to his advantage. He's very smart to do it, really, but it's effective. It's been working very well for the past decade. But I think that's why we all notice it, is because he pokes and prods and gets us upset. Yeah. Then he can use that, the chaos that comes out of our upset emotions and the clouding of our judgment, and can exploit that even further.
I have this, at my heart, I'm overly romantic and overly, I'm kind of stupid.
You're just a baby, Dave.
I'm just a baby. But I always thought that my life and life on Earth and in the country would always be one step backwards, two steps forward. That we would, you know, yes, bad things are going to happen and 9/11s will happen and this will happen and that will happen, but we're always going to get better. And the last 25 years have dissuaded me of that. And no one knows what's going to happen, but it's possible that the pendulum could swing again in our lifetimes, Kev, and we go back to a very rule-based way of living. Mm-hmm. You know, that we, quote-unquote, learn from this and say, oh, no, here's the way we need to do it, and we need to be, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and so forth. But it's very sad to me, having kids in this generation, that maybe it doesn't. Maybe it continues to slide for a generation.
It could, but our kids may be the ones that fix it. You know, when it was a long time ago, it was probably a couple of years ago that we brought up that story that there were some sociologists that were studying history and how everything works in a cycle. And I'm forgetting the names of how they called it.
Right.
But there's like a crisis cycle, and then there's kind of a turnaround cycle, and then there's a good days cycle, and then there's a decline towards the crisis. And if you look back on U.S. history, starting with the Revolution, it's pretty much every 25, 30 years, there's kind of a window. And when you think about it from, you know, the Civil War, what comes next in the cycle? So that's your crisis cycle, right? And then you build towards it. Eventually, you're in the roaring 20s and everything's good. But, you know, you also had the Great Depression in there. You had World War One, and then World War Two comes along, which is crisis mode again. It settles back down right after that. And then it picks back up in the 60s with civil rights and Vietnam and protests and everything else that's going on. And then you get back into crisis mode, and then you cycle back out in the 80s and 90s. Yeah. We were in that, like, glory time.
Yeah.
And then you've been down in a little decline, and now maybe we're back in that crisis cycle again. I think that made a lot of sense when I read their methodology, and you look at kind of, and it's not exact, it's not 25 years exactly or 30 years exactly, it's just roughly that amount of time we cycle in and out of these things, and hopefully that's what continues. Because it would mean we're due to get into a calmer period and then that wonderful period again.
But what do you mean by a wonderful period? Like, what is this wonderful period you guys are talking about?
So, like, the 80s and 90s. There's no international conflict.
Roaring 20s, the 80s and 90s.
You don't have a lot of social upheaval. People are living peacefully. Economy gets good. You know, again, so right after World War II, what happened? You had the baby boom, and then you had the boom in the middle class, and the middle class grew bigger than it ever has. And then later on, you end up getting into the 60s. It starts to be problems. It kind of wraps up with Watergate and all of the nonsense that was going on there. The 70s kind of sucked. You know, the 60s were more turbulent maybe, but the 70s sucked. It was a time of, you know, we weren't doing well in the world. The economy was bad. You had gas lines. You had the Iran scandal. I mean, not scandal, the hostage issue in Iran. And it changes over time. And calms down, and that's kind of like when that's the good time. So the most recent like really good times would have been pre 9/11. And then 9/11 would be kind of a catalyst to start the we're starting to slide the wrong way.
Yeah, JR says the theory is
turnings,
called
turnings. Yes.
And it's a 4-generation cycle.
Yes.
Yeah, I watched that guy's whole presentation last year and it was impressive.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not exact science, right?
Yeah.
It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. But it really is a sensible way of, especially looking at U.S. history, maybe world history too, but just looking at what we know of U.S. history, it pretty much fits.
Little on the lighter note about a president of the United States, you know, check me on this because I saw this last year and I was stoned. So it could have relative truthiness. But I was watching this thing about St. Louis, you know, kind of ancient St. Louis, and right across from the arch on the East St. Louis side was this island called Bloody Island, and it was famous for duels.
Mm-hmm.
Meet me at Bloody Island, Wheeler. I'll see you at 3 p.m. Bring your second.
All right.
And evidently, someone called out Abraham Lincoln, or he called someone out, and... The chosen weapons were swords. So the old rail splitter showed up on Bloody Island with his sword ready to go to defend his honor, and the guy chickened out.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh? Pretty weird. Just to think that, you know, not that long ago relatively.
He just challenged someone to a duel.
You're just standing on this piece of land with a sword, just waiting to go at it.
Who was the guy that did that, like, I don't know, like 15 years ago? It was like a senator or a House of Representatives.
Yeah.
It was like, I challenge you to a duel.
Yeah.
Oh, we're yeah. Like, that wasn't even 15 years ago. That
no.
was like.
Was it less than that?
That was like 2 years ago.
We should bring it back. That shut a lot of people up.
I mean, the duel didn't happen. So somebody chickened out.
It was a senator. Who was it?
It was a Mark something.
No. You're thinking that's different. You're thinking of Mark Wayne Mullen. That wasn't no. This is different. This was an older dude. God.
Everyone's older compared to me. I'm just a baby.
Babies can't fight duels.
Babies can't wield two-handed greatswords. Zweihanders.
Rach, you had on the show sheet about people bringing down their Christmas decor. Today is the day to take down your decor. Do you know why?
Because it's Epiphany. It's the end of the Christmas season.
It's the end of the 12 days of Christmas.
Oh.
Oh, I thought that was before.
The 12 days of Christmas starts on Christmas?
I don't know. I'm just telling you what I read.
Or that would be the day after Christmas. 36, 37, 38, 39, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37.
I knew that you weren't going to get to the end of it.
What comes after 27?
Well, I kept counting past 31, if you guys noticed. I got to 37, so now I'm confused.
Yeah, it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm just lazy, but I walked in today and Tammy was taking down all of our Christmas decorations in the lobby. I'm like, oh man, does that mean I got to work on mine?
Yeah.
Because I was kind of planning on keeping those up for a while.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This here's a jam for all the fellas. Try to do what those ladies tell us. Get shot down because you're overzealous. Play hard to get females get jealous. Okay, smarty, go to a party. Girls are scantily
clad. Welcome back, guys. DGS. Gene says, yes, the 12 days of Christmas start December 6th through January 6th. time frame denotes when the three wise men traveled to see the baby Jesus. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, a little late.
Art of War says my neighbors still have a skeleton on their front porch.
Dude, we still have the 12-foot skeleton.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. It'll be there till Easter.
Is it Christmas?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's dressed. He looks like he's dressed like Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation.
Do you guys have an HOA?
It doesn't bother me. It's just like it's just one of those things. That it's like the. I think I've said this before.
It's not what he said.
No, it honestly doesn't. Like, I don't drive by it every day and go, shake my fist. I don't. It doesn't. It's just the same. It's like if you have a buddy that once told a funny joke and they tell that joke every time you see them.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Kevin's the law
it's
of
like,
his neighborhood.
Okay, guys. It was funny the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not funny the 10th time.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Rach, I thought of you. We were talking a couple weeks ago about self-forgiving yourself. And that's been a huge thing for me in my life. And I just don't know how anyone can go through life without that, without being forgiven by those around them and forgiving yourself. And forgiving yourself, in my experience, is so much harder to do. But Wheels, our guy, the CIA guy, what's his name?
Which one? You're talking about the everyday spy guy? Everyday you're talking about Kiriakou?
Not Kiriakou.
You're talking about...
Normal-looking white dude.
Oh, you're talking about Chase Hughes.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's the one who talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he's an expert in it, but he's an expert in human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask him something, and he said that he thinks the most important thing you can do for your mental health is to, and here, this was his quote, to forgive yourself to the point of delusion.
Hmm.
That you should be so forgiving of yourself and things that you've done in the past to the point of being delusional. Hmm. Because you can't do anything about it. I mean, you can do some things about it. You can make amends.
Sure, sure.
You can say I'm sorry and ask to be forgiven. But I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, I guess I get where he's coming from, but then you're going to have people who take that in the respect of like, well, I don't have to worry about it because I should just forgive myself and move on.
See, people like that, I doubt, are even thinking about forgiving themselves.
I don't know. I think there's many shades of this kind of thing. And I do think it's dangerous to just be like, yep, no matter what, it's okay. Because then you run the risk of repeating that same behavior again. Or... you move slightly differently and your behavior is just as toxic. It's just not the exact same mistake. So, like, I get what he's saying. It is important to not dwell in the past because you're right. The past doesn't exist anymore. All we have is the present and looking forward to the future. But it's incredibly important to understand our past and understand, you know, why those things happened so that we can avoid doing it again.
Also, I thought this was very interesting. Before the invention of the light bulb, the average amount that people slept was 11 hours.
For real?
Yeah.
Sounds like nice. My time.
Wow.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do?
No, that's a really good point.
It's dark.
No, yeah. As soon as it gets dark and you can't work the field anymore, it's like, well, guess I'll go boom.
I mean, you got like, I mean, plus you had a lot of people had physical jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you're farming or you're construction or whatever. And you're like, well, it's now 9 o'clock. What am I going to do? I got no TV. I'm too tired to keep on reading.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't have electricity, so I'm just going to go to sleep. And then you get up when the sun comes up.
Yeah. They also said that 536 CE was the worst time to be alive. Evidently.
The year 530. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There was a volcanic eruption, and basically the entire world had this miniature ice age.
Oh.
And that the crops were dying and everyone was starving, and it was like worldwide. So just in case anyone asks you when the worst time...
It's known as the volcanic winter of 536. That sounds awful. Oh, man.
Kevin and I both hate mornings so much that we were like, the year or just the time?
Yeah, right. I was thinking
536 in the morning.
5:36 a.m. is the devil's hour for sure. Nobody should be awake at that time. But this is what I mean when I say, when people say this is the worst time to be alive. Like, no.
Yeah.
536 was way worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the humans then would have been like, what are you idiots whining about? You have shelter. You have food.
Yeah.
We got nothing, man.
What is air conditioning again? What does that mean?
Or heat.
Yeah. You go to a store, they have, what's the store?
Well, I mean, I'm sure they had fire.
Also, they have found, as they just keep doing, they think that they have found a skeleton of the first hominid that was walking upright 7 million years ago.
All right.
They just keep moving it back.
Yep.
Yeah, more and more history. Sits down next to you and starts talking.